At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The seven candidates hoping to become the next Dallas police chief wrap up their interviews today. They'll meet with City Manager T.C. Broadnax and his staff. Last night, the candidates fielded questions from the public at a citizen meet and greet at City Hall. Three of the candidates come from the Dallas Police Department: Malik Aziz, Gary Tittle, and Rick Watson. The other four come from Detroit, Los Angeles, and Seattle, as well as Montgomery County in Maryland. T.C. Broadnax says there's no timetable for making a final decision, but would like to have someone in place by August or September. Whoever becomes the next DPD chief will inherit a shrinking police force and low morale among the ranks. A governor has a 20-item agenda for the special session set to begin Tuesday. Among the items on Governor Abbott's list, the so-called bathroom bill. Brandi Grissom is Austin bureau chief for the Dallas Morning News. She told Public Radio's Texas Standard the bathroom bill failed in the regular session, mainly because of opposition from House Speaker Joe Strauss.
The Speaker of the House opposes that measure. He worries about it damaging the Texas economy and also targeting an already vulnerable community in Texas.
There are actually two bathroom bills under consideration. One limits transgender access in all public restrooms, while the other would restrict access in schools. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick had pushed for a bathroom bill during the regular session. Grissom says it remains to be seen whether he would be satisfied with only a ban in schools.
The lieutenant governor has been really forceful in saying that he wants a ban that keeps men out of ladies' rooms. It seems unlikely that he would settle for that during a special session. However, in politics, sometimes it comes down to compromises, and so he may take partial victory rather than a full victory.
The governor said lawmakers can address a bathroom bill and other priorities during the special session, but only after lawmakers extend operations of the Texas Medical Board and other agencies that are set to expire. Now to Breakthroughs, where we explore the latest in health science and technology. Researchers at the University of Texas at Dallas have built a small, inexpensive sensor they say can alert you if you're at risk for type 2 diabetes. The disease is the world's leading cause of amputations, blindness, and kidney failure. The wearable device only needs sweat to get readings, even when you're not active. As Bill Zeeble reports, that could be a very big deal if it really works.
Standing in UTD's bioengineering lab, research assistant Vadri Jagannath is sporting what looks like a pricey digital watch on his left wrist. Instead of telling the time, this device, a new sensor created in this lab, is measuring cortisol, interleukin-6, and glucose levels in his sweat, numbers you can typically only get with a blood test.
With sweat, if you can wear it as a watch, it's like, compare it to the conventional glucose meters where you need to prick. I don't have to specifically use like a finger pricking device to actually draw and see the measurement.
For years, researchers have failed to come up with a way to read glucose, also known as blood sugar, without puncturing the skin. In the case of sweat, there's usually too much, diluting the result, or too little, and no way to control it. Shalini Prasad runs this lab and says her team borrowed tricks she learned isolating molecules as an oil and gas engineer to solve this problem.
If I can modulate that microstructure and then do certain modifications, then it doesn't matter how much sweat my body is going to produce. I can use whatever I produce, take away the excess, or if I have very little, I can spread it better. Most people solve either one or the other. They don't solve for both.
Prasad and her colleagues chose three measurements because she says any change in glucose, cortisol, or interleukin-6 suggests a person could be at risk for diabetes. She says someone wearing the sensor might see a rise in any of the measurements after eating certain foods and learn to avoid them in the future. Prasad was born in India. She'd love to take this inexpensive design home where millions may not even know they have the disease.
There are 65 million diabetics in India, and India is said to be the diabetes capital of the world. There's a large prevalence but low awareness. How do I increase the reach for essentially just diagnosing people?
Diagnosing and treating people with diabetes is Dr. Steve Russell's life. The Massachusetts General Hospital endocrinologist isn't yet sold on this sensor.
I think my concern about this whole idea is the relationship between sweat glucose and blood glucose isn't very well established. I don't know of a lot of data correlating those two, and it may be true, but that's a hypothesis to be tested.
Russell also questions the choice of measuring levels of cortisol and interleukin-6, or as he calls it, IL-6.
To my knowledge, it hasn't been established that changes in the cortisol levels or IL-6 levels for an individual can actually be used to predict whether they will develop type 2 diabetes.
Granted, Russell wants a reliably accurate diagnostic tool meeting both timely and high medical standards. Back at UTD, Prasad suggests using this sensor to get accurate averages, say, over a week or more. Use it, she says, on children, where they could wear the sensor like a Band-Aid.
And then look at it even for a month and say these numbers all are elevated. So then, as a concerned parent, you would go and get your primary care physician to essentially do then a detailed battery of tests.
Prasad's convinced she's got something with this wearable sensor. She's still looking for a partner, like a pharmaceutical company, to pay for more tests, develop a manufacturing plan, or even an app for a wearable device. Doctors like Massachusetts General's Russell want a faster, better, cheaper way to diagnose or predict type 2 diabetes. He's not yet convinced this is it. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Coming up on the BBC NewsHour, the latest on the email trail published by Donald Trump Jr. Also, a glimpse inside the Syrian city of Raqqa, which is still held by Islamic State fighters. NewsHour begins at 9 o'clock. For the day, mostly sunny skies in store for us, with the high in the upper 90s by this afternoon. This evening, well, looks to be mostly clear with a low around 77. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 97. And tomorrow night, mostly clear, looks to be a low around 78. It's currently 81 degrees in Dallas, 80 in Fort Worth, 78 in Tyler, and 79 in Wichita Falls.